So I think that if we're going to discuss modesty of where a person looks, so we should maybe introduce it a little bit. Beauty is not a negative thing. Beauty is a positive thing. God created the world with beauty, and we thank Him for that. Every time when we bench, we say, we thank God for giving us the food. B'chein, b'chesed uv'rachamim. We begin with chein. What's the chein? God could have made all the food mud. God could have made it that everything is mud, and it all tastes like mud, and you have to eat it, and you eat it, and you get sustenance, and that's it. And God didn't do that. God made an apple, and God made an apple red, and an apple green, and an apple yellow, and God made an apple with a peel, and an apple with an inside, and God made oranges, and God made lemons, and God made all the beautiful fruits, and all the beautiful vegetables, and everything that we live on, God made with chayin. He made everything different colors, and different tastes, and different smells, and different textures, and God put chayin into the world. God made things beautiful. And God not only made fruits and vegetables and the food we eat beautiful, but God also made us beautiful. God could have made us all bald. God did make us all bald. He gave us something beautiful called hair.
With tiferet, right?
What?
With tiferet. He made us beautiful with tiferet.
It's tiferet is glory. God, what?
Which is beauty, yeah. Which is our beauty.
Okay. I don't know what you're referring to. I mean,
I think it's that's the part of us that's truly beautiful. Yeah.
I don't know what you mean. Sorry.
I mean, the tiferet I always thought of as the glory, yeah. But also, it's the part of us that we see the shining part of. It's hard to explain, kind of. We see the shining part of Hashem's glory within us, which is truly beautiful.
Okay. Yeah, I can. Yeah, I think
I mean,
so.
Some people shine. You know, some. You look at somebody and they glow. They shine. Yeah. And you're like, wow, that person is really super shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Not referring to like oil or anything like that. I'm referring to that positive, just. Psh. And
yeah.
Then on the opposite side, you look at certain people that have, for whatever reason, they are dark, super dark countenance. And you look at them and you say, wow, I feel really sorry for this person because whatever they've done to themselves to make themselves cut off, they've really done a good job.
Yeah, I hear that, but let's begin with the external. You're going internal already.
Right.
I think that it's important to recognize that God gave us external beauty as well, and that's a tool. God could have made us all have black teeth, and He made us have white, beautiful teeth. God could have made us all short little midgets, and God gave us height, and God gave us shape, and God gave beauty to that shape. And we're supposed to appreciate that. Now, like everything that God puts in this world, it can be used completely in a pure sense, and it could be used completely in an impure sense, and it could be used in a balance. Beauty is a tool. It's something which can be used for good things. One is supposed to make a beautiful Beit HaKnesset. One is supposed to wash himself and come beautifully prepared for praying before his Creator. One is supposed to beautify himself for his spouse or her spouse at home. It's a tool. It can be used correctly. It can be used incorrectly. A teacher also. Part of what a teacher has an impact on his students very often depends on how he presents himself. Our sages stressed, "Mane mechabdute." His garments are his honor. A person is not supposed to walk around with garments that are tatters. He's not supposed to walk around with stained clothing. He's supposed to walk around with clothing that are middle of the road. Not too proud, not too simple, something in the middle. The fact that a person is attracted to physical beauty is natural. It's positive. If a person tells you he isn't, then send him to a psychologist. Something's wrong. That's the way God created us, and it is positive that it's that way. At the same time, God told us that we're supposed to control ourselves. And controlling ourselves is one of the ways of ensuring that society will remain moral. The Torah goes far beyond telling us, don't marry someone else's wife. The Torah tells us that we're not allowed to want to marry someone else's wife. And the Torah tells us that we shouldn't be looking at someone else's wife. And the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to be thinking about someone else's wife. So the Torah takes it many, many steps further, and there are biblical commandments that forbid us from doing things that are long before we reach the stage of marrying someone else's wife. And these are biblical commandments. We're not talking about rabbinical commandments.
I'm curious what it means to look.
Also, maybe we'll still get to that. The Gemara says there's a special blessing one makes about a beautiful woman. So the Gemara says, how do you ever encounter a beautiful woman? You're not supposed to look. The Gemara says, could be you rounded the corner as she's there, and you bump into her, you see her, you see a beautiful person. You saw her, what can you do? So you make the blessing. We see from the Gemara that the Gemara understood, the Gemara took for granted, that when you're around the corner, you don't have control what you're going to see. At the same time, the Gemara assumed when you don't round the corner, you do have control over what you see. And on the one hand, the person could say, what do you mean? I'm walking down the street. There are people around me. But the question is, when you walk down the street, what are you looking at? And what are you focused on? A person can come to the checkout counter and he's going to have a transaction, he's going to pay, he's going to get change. He could look at the beauty of the person behind the checkout counter, or he could not look at the beauty. The question is not will he see her or not. It's true, a person is going to see the person. And there are two stages to seeing a person. Meaning there's seeing, and then there's analyzing. If I ask you, the person sitting behind you on the bus today, what they look like? You don't know. If I would ask a person, after there had been a good-looking person sitting behind them on the bus, who was sitting behind them on the bus, they would know. What's the difference? The difference is that split second when a person takes a second to look, to take a look. You saw both of them. Now, this is something that a person is supposed to train himself. And training himself means, like someone mentioned, firstly, not taking a second look. And a person shouldn't look down upon that. A person shouldn't say, well, all I'm doing is I'm not taking a second look. What's it worth? No, that's worth a lot. That's the first step. We're working towards something. So now I'm not taking a second look. Now I'm not looking back. And in a few days, I'll be at the stage where I can contain myself not to look. And this is something that's a lifelong task. It's something that no one knows where a person's holding. No one knows if a person is taking that extra glance or not. A person's wife might know, maybe. But no one really knows. If you stand there gaping, then everyone knows. But short of that, no one knows. The same look could be innocent and could be not innocent. Our sages say that Avram was married to Sarah, one of the most beautiful women in the world, and he didn't know it. He didn't know it. Our sages say that there was a man who was married to a woman who was missing her arms, and he didn't know it. So the Gemara begins, the Gemara says, what a modest woman. So many years he was married to her and he didn't know she was missing her arms. Then the Gemara says, what do you mean? Of course she didn't want him to know she was missing her arms. What a modest man. He didn't know she was missing her arms. This shows us levels of modesty that we're unaccustomed to. How could a person be married to a woman, they're having children, he doesn't know she's missing her arms? How could Avram be married to one of the most beautiful women in the world and he doesn't know she's one of the most beautiful women in the world? I'm quoting these things because they sound almost ridiculous to us, because they're supposed to help us gain perspective. One of the guys once said, do me a favor, give us a class on certain laws between men and women, not because I think I could live up to it today, but if I hear today where I'm supposed to get to tomorrow, then I'll start working on that today. So we're not yet Avraham Avinu, but we have to understand that there's a level where we're supposed to work towards that. And a person has control over how long he looks at a person and whether he just sees a person or looks at them. The Gemara says that if a person looks at a woman's finger, then there's no difference if he looks at her finger or he looks at her most private parts. Because you're not allowed to look at a person, at a woman, for the sake of looking and appreciating her beauty. Obviously, the Gemara also holds that it's worse to look at a woman's private parts than to look at her finger. The Gemara isn't coming to say, well, if you're going to do this, you might as well do that. The Gemara is saying, don't think that, oh, I'm just looking at her finger, she's giving me the change and I'm looking at her hand. It doesn't work that way. The Gemara is saying, that's terrible as well. Now, this is something to work towards. A person is supposed to get there. Doesn't mean he'll get there tomorrow, but it means that a person is not supposed to be looking, and not supposed to be looking. The Gemara takes it so far as to say, don't walk on the rooftops. Because you walk on the rooftops at night, then you're going to see into people's bathrooms, into people's homes, and you're going to see immodest things. King David ended up falling with Bathsheba because he was walking on a rooftop in the evening. So our sages say, don't walk on rooftops. I used to dorm in an apartment building, and we were 13 flights up or something. I don't know, 5 flights up. I don't remember how many flights up, but we had a window that looked out onto the other apartment buildings. And one of the first things I did when I moved into an apartment was get a curtain. Because if you're in an apartment building, then what happens is you look out the window, and I love looking out the window. I mean, I need fresh air. But if you're in an apartment building and you're looking out the window, you're going to see a modest thing. There's no way it's not going to happen. So a person has to watch himself, on the one hand, when he's out in the street, not to look. And a person is also supposed to watch himself, not to put himself in a situation where he's going to see things. So that means that a person shouldn't have a window without a curtain if he's in a high riser. We could add to that a little bit. The Gemara says that if a person walks behind the women when they're washing clothing in the river, then he won't have a portion in the world to come. Why? Because in ancient times, they'd go into the river to wash the clothing and their skirts would float up. So you could see more. The Gemara says, you know that's what's going to be at the river. You know that when she's walking in the river, her skirt is going to float up. So if a person walks behind the women washing in the river, that means he didn't care to watch himself not to see that. He's not going to have a portion in the world to come. Here the Gemara teaches us that a person has to be careful not to put himself in a situation where he'll see things.
So you have to prepare. That's like almost like Shabbat. You try to prepare things in a way which you prepare yourself, I guess, yeah, in order to do the right thing.
It's preparing oneself when one is on a bus and he's going to see things, not to look at them. And it's also preparing oneself not to be in a situation and in a place where he's going to see things that will innately bring him to look.
Like Yichud is like an offense for us not to be in a situation where he could.
So Yichud, it's a good question. It's unclear whether Yichud is a protector, not to bring us to doing other things that are wrong, or it's its own prohibition. There's a prohibition called Yichud. Our sages prohibited a boy and a girl to be alone in a room together. Obviously, one of the reasons why they might have prohibited that was so that they won't come to having marital relations, but is the reasoning part of the prohibition, or is it its own prohibition? That there's a discussion about. That's unclear. Obviously, what they had in mind was this. The question is, does that have any halachic pertinence? So we said a person has to work on himself. A person has to know that every inch that he moves forward is worth a lot. Said that a person has control over just seeing and looking, and that a person has to also watch where he goes and what he sees. The Gemara says a person should rather walk behind the lion than walk behind the woman. So you walk on the average street, you walk on the sidewalk today, it's almost impossible not to walk behind a woman. the Gemara means is sometimes a person could walk behind a woman and see her figure and look at the way she walks, and he's enjoying walking behind her. If a person feels like that might happen, then he should run and he should be in front of her. A person could walk and there are 100 people walking, and sometimes this one's in front of him, sometimes that one's in front of him, and he doesn't notice who's in front of him at any given moment. Then he's not walking behind the woman. If a person is in a situation where he knows he's walking behind her, so then either walk back or walk forward, but the person is not supposed to be in that situation. Okay?